praise you, Lord. Let's lift our hands, Lord. As we come together this day, Vision Sunday for 2019, Lord, I pray that as we speak about the year, the vision ahead, Lord, I pray not only do people get a vision for Life Church, but they get a vision for the community. They get a vision for everything that you have in store for them personally. Holy Spirit, just speak into people's lives this day. Inspiration, revelation, vision. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thank you, band. So, could we have our first slide up, Neil? And I will see if I can drive it from here. If not, I'll need some help. So, Vision Sunday 2019. So, when we come to this day, it's sort of like we've had a great Christmas, the January period where lots of people take a break, have a holiday, be refreshed. And we get into February and it's Vision Sunday. Does that mean we have a new vision every year? No, we have the same vision. But often we run with a theme or a focus. And I just want to unfold some things today that I pray that will really inspire you, really bless you as we head into 2019, the big picture. Now, if you were part of us last year our theme was revival. The big picture, in a sense, is a continuation of that. But I just want us to open ourselves up to all that God has for us this year. Now, just a couple of things coming up briefly. This Thursday is our annual general meeting. And this is not just about business. I remember it was a year or two ago, we were praying in there and Ron Melvin got healed of a condition. And we have great time of worship, a little bit of business, vision, some coffee and cake together. And so I encourage you, if you're not a member, you're welcome. Come along this Thursday night. But if you are a member, it's important that you be there. Make sure you've read through your AGM documents and you're ready to go. On the 16th, which is only, 12 days away, is the Graham Tour. And we're going to show a video in just a moment. And it's 60 years since Billy Graham came and had those incredible crusades. And we've got people in our congregation today that were saved, impacted by those meetings. 60 years on, his son is coming. And as part of the big picture, I just want you to watch this clip.
He went to the cross that we might be set free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
God loved you so much that he sent his son out of heaven to this earth on a rescue mission.
The most important thing that we can do is to pray.
Is Holy Spirit-filled power when you preach the gospel? I want you to know tonight that God loves you. We've got more opportunity today than we've ever had to make the impact of Christ felt in every phase of life.
So part of the bigger picture is that we know what's going on around the world. We know what's going on in our capital city. Many of you went to Awakening Australia last year. And so if you'd like to go to that, you need to get online and check out everything that you need to do to book, and we'll send you out some more information on that as well. Start of March is men's camp. We had Adam Walkerton come last year and he's coming back this year. Man, I just want to encourage you. Last year, we had a great time and it culminated in the Saturday night where it was just a worship night. We had the band were just playing. The atmosphere was incredible. People were just going around praying for each other. And things were just broken off people's lives. I want to encourage you, man, even if you can't come to the whole thing, maybe come for one night, maybe come up for the Saturday part of the day or whatever. But we put these events on because they change people's lives. So catch up with Daniel or Alan and book in for that. It's a great time. On the 17th of March, we're taking up a vision offering. I've changed it from miracle offering to vision offering because we want to vision out something amazing and incredible for you. And we'll have more details about that coming up, but that's on the 17th of March. 17th of April, last year we showed the Cross short movie with Billy Graham, and Billy Graham since passed. So we had an incredible feedback from the community that came to that. So I just want to encourage you now, start thinking about this. This is in the week leading up to Easter. That's a powerful night. Think about who you can invite to come and hear the gospel message about how Jesus saves from sin. Our Together conference is coming up on the 3rd of May. And we have Daniel and Chelsea Hagen again, who were here last year. So that's going to be another incredible, powerful time. So you've got that date, and we'll have more details soon. Following that, in June, we have Steve and Sally McCracken coming back. And these guys are just incredible blessing to our church over a number of years. So that's going to be another great weekend. And today is Mission Sunday. And on the 20th of July, we have a team of... Where are you, Bev? Give me a wave. We've got 10 definites, 5 maybes, and at least 7 that are going to be part of it but based here at home. That's so far. Okay, so we've got Ian and Bev sitting up there, the lovely couple on the right. Okay, so if you've just heard about this missions trip, 2 weeks in East Timor starting on the 20th of July, you'd like to be involved, you can catch up with them. If you're quick, they might still fit you into the team. All right, so that's going to be an incredible, powerful time. Mission Sunday, this first Sunday of every month, if you normally give to missions, you can do that online. There's all the different ways. The giving was up there before. All right. We're also having a month of prayer and fasting. A couple of things that I'd like you to pray for. The first one is unity amongst churches. You know, there's something powerful when in a community, the churches can come together, the ministers can come together, they can pray together. They may have different styles, different doctrines, different beliefs, whatever, but you can put all that aside and there's unity. Unity at a leadership level. So I encourage you to really pray for that. Continue to pray for revival for our region. Who wants to see God move? Who wants to see... I thank God for everything that he's doing, but there's so much more, amen? Continue to pray for that. Let's not be the standard Christian, the mediocre Christian, the status quo Christian. Let's not be like that. Let's be someone that wants more, that thanks God for what we've got, but we're not satisfied because we want so much more. We've got a dying community out there. And if the church isn't alive, isn't impacting, isn't growing, isn't flourishing, then who are they going to see it through? So I really encourage you, keep praying for revival. A couple of things that I want you to believe for. Believe that we go through the 300 people mark this year. We've gone from 213 to 265 in the last 12 months, and that's a conservative figure. So I really encourage you, pray that we break through the 300 barrier and go beyond that this year. So believe and pray for that with our leaders this year. When I was at Awakening Australian, God spoke to me about to believe for $300,000 income for the church this year. The fact is, the way our tithes are tracking from last year and this year, our income will be $220,000. We have set a budget in place. And you know what a budget is good? Because a budget tells you what your expenses and income will be, and it tells you it's going to be here. And you know what? We need more money than is in our budget. And we're setting a faith goal of $300,000. Why? Because there's no possible way in ourselves that we can get there. And that's the difference between a budget to know where you're at and a faith goal to know where you want to be. And in the middle is faith. In the middle is God coming through. In the middle is something supernatural. Because if we set our budget and our faith goal and our budget at the same level, who needs faith? So I want to encourage you, be praying and believing for $300,000. We've never got there before. We've never come close to it before. And this year, I believe, God has laid upon my heart, believe for $300,000 income. We're going to have a vision offering on the 17th of March, as I said. We'll tell you more about that later. But I'm believing for $30,000 to come in. We've never reached that before. This year, I believe, is going to be some steps of faith. So I want you to begin to believe and pray for that. So just a couple of other things before we get into the Word is just some new appointments this year. So Pastor Gideon is going to be on part of our eldership and involved in that regularly. So you know that scripture, it's good for the elder to be the husband of one wife? Well, there she is, Sophia. So that's just proof that it's all happening, all right? So Pastor Gideon's going to be on our eldership. Also, David Doherty. Where's Dave? Give me a wave, Dave. Where are you? He's in the toilet? Many of you know Dave. There he is up there. Okay. So David is on our board for this year. And so we've got a couple of people that are stepping off roles, and we're going to honour them at our AGM this Thursday night. So just a couple of new things regarding eldership and board. Finance. So Murray was up here just before, and Murray is our bookkeeper. So we have changed the structure. So Neil is our administrator and on our board, and Murray is our bookkeeper. And between these two guys, they're going to help count the $300,000 that comes in this year, amen? And administer it well, directed by the board, all right? So just to let you know, practical things like if, when it comes to finance, these are the guys and the girls, the girl and the guy that you need to see, all right? And last of all, we've got Andy and Steph. So new members, welcome. These guys are going to be leading our young adults ministry this year. And that's going to be, I believe, harnessing an incredible age group to do incredible things for God. And so you'll hear more about that shortly, but we're really excited about that. Okay, the big picture. God created the heavens and the earth, and then he created Adam and Eve. We're going to talk a little bit about those guys in just a minute. There was a period of around about 2,000 years up to Abraham. And then God spoke to Abraham about his descendants would be as the stars in the sky, as the sand on the seashore. And the formation of the children of Israel and God's people, and that went through to another point in time where Jesus came. And we all know the incredible impact that Christ had. It was God coming to earth, Emmanuel with us. Then there's another period of another 2,000 years of the early church and the church that we're in today. That culminates to around about 6,000 years. Now, the Bible talks about that Jesus is coming back, that there's going to be at some point a rapture of the church, there's going to be a great tribulation. Jesus will come and he will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And then there will be the judgment, the end, a new heaven, a new earth. So when you look at the scheme of things, it's roughly around about 7,000 years. Where are we in the point of this? Well, we're near the end. Jesus is coming back. When is that going to happen? Is it going to happen tomorrow? I doubt it. Because with the prophecies in the Bible and things that still need to be fulfilled, but we are getting closer. And I want us to understand that we are in this generation that is right near the end. And that's not to scare anyone, but that's just to give us a perspective of where we are, the big picture of where we are in the timeline of history. And I hope that that stirs and sparks within you an urgency today, an urgency to want to make your life count, to want to do all that you can, to not just come and live an average life and understand where we are in the scheme of things in the big picture. So the first scripture I want to look at is in Genesis chapter 1. You can turn with your Bibles or it's going to be up on the screen. So we're going to go back to the start. I'm going to look at four scriptures today, and I really feel that there's a point coming up where God just spoke to me about this is it for what you need to say today. So we're just going to lay a little foundation for a moment. Genesis 1, 26, 28. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Now get a hold of verse 28 today. God blessed them and he said to them, "Be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves upon the ground." Where's Layla? My granddaughter. You can ask her, what noises do the animals make? And you go, what noise does a fish make? And she goes, Layla, what noise does a fish make? Good news, we're to rule over the fish of the sea. And Tom knows that and he keeps catching them every day. I want you to look at this. Our image. You were created in God's image. Did you know that? Yeah, I've read that. But do you know it? Do you understand that? What it means is his image, in the original Hebrew, it means a resemblance. Hence, a representative figure. You were created in the image of God as a representative figure of him on planet Earth. Did you know that? You're not just here to take up space. You're not just here to be one of the 7 billion. You are here as a representative of God, so that people can see what God is like. See, Jesus, when he came to Earth, was a representative to show people what God was like. Emmanuel, God dwelling with us. When each and every one of us come to a point in our lives where we come into a relationship with Jesus and God comes in our life and births a new spirit within us and we become alive to him, what we need to understand is we are a representation of God. That people will see God through the way that we live. And that's the big challenge, because sometimes we don't live in a way, and I can say this for myself, I don't live in a way that represents God. And if we're probably all honest and truthful, we probably all struggle with that at times. But he has made us his ambassadors, his representation to be his hands and his feet on planet Earth. So we need to understand you were made in the image of God. You represent God himself. And his plan for you is to be fruitful, increase, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over it. That's his plan for you. And if you're here today and you don't feel like you're doing that, then God has a word for you and it's coming up soon. Okay, let's skip on to Genesis chapter 3, 8 and 9. Then the man and his wife They heard the sound of the Lord God as he walked in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to them and he said, "Where are you?" God made Adam and Eve in his image. And many of you would know the story that he placed them in the Garden of Eden. And he got them to care for the garden. And it was beautiful. The trees and the water, and God would come and walk with them in the cool of the day. You see, they had a relationship with God. They knew what it was like to walk with God, to talk with God, to be intimate with God. They knew what it was like. And yet, God didn't want robots. And he created a tree, and he said, "That's the one tree you do not touch." Satan comes in the form of a serpent. And he talks with Eve. Anyone ever heard of Don Francisco? If you're my age, you probably have. If you're younger, maybe you haven't. Don Francisco is a singer-songwriter. And he wrote a song about Adam. And in the first verse, he talks about, you know, how they were kings and queens walking in the garden with God. And in the second verse, he describes what happened at the fall. He said, "But the master of deception now begins with his dissection of the word. And with all his craft and his subtlety, the serpent twists the simple truth they've heard. While hanging in the balance is the world that has been placed at their command. And all their unborn children die as both of them bow down to Satan's hand." God had said, "Do not eat from that tree." The serpent twisted. Oh, did God really say that? "You'll become like God. You'll understand good and evil." So they took and they ate and their eyes were opened. God created mankind to rule and conquer the earth. But Adam and Eve could not conquer temptation. The order of temptation is always the same. It's a strong desire for sensual gratification, with the secret hope that somehow the consequences of that action can be avoided. The eye inflames passion. Passion masters the resistance of the will, and the body obeys its impulse. The act of gratification is followed immediately by remorse and guilt. "Adam, where are you?" God calls out, "Adam, where are you? I come here every day. I walk with you. You're not here." God knew exactly where he was. He wanted to see what Adam and Eve were going to say. "Adam, where are you?" They were hidden. See, the difference between Adam and us is Adam was born perfect. He had a relationship with God, and then he chose and he fell into sin. So the difference between him and us is we were born into sin because of that action. But Jesus came to change that. And although we were born in sin, if you're here today and you've come to that point in your life where you know you can't overcome that sin, you can't overcome the guilt and shame, you can't overcome those things in your life, no matter how hard you try, there's one person that can overcome them for you, the second Adam, and he's Jesus Christ. And we're different because we were born into sin, but when you understand that and you choose that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no way to the Father except through him. And when you understand that and get a revelation and you take that step of faith, then he can take away your sin and restore you back to the relationship that Adam once had with God. It's powerful. "Adam, where are you?" Because of the guilt and the shame that Adam felt, they covered their bodies and they hid from God. Today I want to ask you a question. Where are you? Where are you? Well, I'm sitting right here. But where are you? Where's Wally? He's not here. But where are you? God said, ask everyone this question. Where are you? You might be here today, and your answer to that is, I'm searching. If you're here today, let me tell you that your search will only bring fulfillment when you acknowledge that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you've already made that choice to follow Jesus, I still want you to get honest and say, where are you today? Are you living a good Christian life? Are you struggling? Where are you today? I want you to get really honest with me for a moment. Because this is the crux of this whole day today. Is God asking you, where are you today? Where are you in your mind? So when Jesus saves us, the work's been done. John and Sue's brought some powerful words and prayers in the pre-service prayer this morning. See, Jesus does 100% work. You are totally saved. But we understand that we live in a fallen world, and there's a sanctification process, and there's things that happen in life. And God's word for you today is, where are you? What is really going on in your heart and in your mind? We're up on Mount Major on Friday night, and there was a word shared there that as the sun set, there was going to be people that had issues with their mind, and those issues, the sun was setting on that problem, and their minds were going to get set free. And I want to share that with you this morning, because let's get really, really real. If you're here today and there's a struggle going on in your mind, God has a word for you this morning. Well, what do you mean? We live in a world today where the word mental illness is thrown around a lot. And I understand that sometimes that's things aren't lining up correctly from a medical point of view. But also understand that a lot of that is contributed from the enemy's attacks on people's mind. See, when Jesus had finished his 40-day fast, where probably he was at his most vulnerable, his body was weak, Satan the tempter, the father of lies, the master of deception, visits him, and he begins to offer him things in his sort of vulnerable state. You know, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all this. Jesus came back with him with the word. You know, the word says, the word says, the word says. That was Jesus' response every time. And I want to encourage you, if you're having a real battle in your mind, there's tools that God has given you. The word says. Know the scripture, quote the scripture, speak the scripture on whatever thing that is badgering your mind. The word is powerful. There was another occasion where the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, why couldn't we cast this spirit out? And he said, that only comes out by prayer and fasting. We have a month of prayer and fasting. I encourage you, if there's something going on in your mind, if there's a battle in your mind and it's tormenting you and you can't get rid of it, prayer and fasting together is a powerful tool. It's powerful. It takes prayer to another level when it's combined with fasting. Where are you in your mind? If you suffer from depression, if you suffer from oppression, if you suffer from things that the enemy just keeps attacking you, it could be, I hear so many things. People get tormented in their mind. It could be over fear of men. It could be over fear of germs. It could be over all sorts of fear. You know what? That doesn't sound like Genesis 1. to increase, to rule, to subdue. God wants to set some people free in their minds today, amen? I'm going to ask you, if you want prayer for that, to stand. And by standing is not a sign of weakness. Because you could be troubled by something in your mind, and who knows what it is. It may mean every person in this congregation stands in a moment. To get God to come in and do something that you can't break. Maybe it involves talking to someone who can help you through that, pray with you, stand with you. Who wants to live a Christian life where you're bound in your thinking? Who wants to be set free? If that's you this morning, I want you to stand. We're going to pray together. Anybody? I'm standing. There's some stuff that happens in my mind. And I think, God, why should I be plagued by that? Friday night, as the sun was setting, the Lord spoke and he said, as the sun is setting, so the sun is going to set on those things that are in people's minds that have tormented them, that have stopped them from living the way God wants them to live. And sure, you might be a Christian, you might be doing awesome things, but there's still this thing that you can't shake, that you can't get rid of. Maybe it's a habit, maybe it's an addiction, maybe there's something in your life that you just want it to change. It's got to change this year. You don't want to go through another year of the same old, same old. If that's you today, I want you to stand. We're going to break this thing. Where are you? What's really going on in your mind? God knows. He understands. Sometimes he just wants you to be honest with him. Maybe honest with somebody else. Because everything that's happened before hasn't broken it yet. That's you. Let's stand. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Lord, today, as we stand here in this place, God, we know that we're on a journey. We know that you're doing a work within us. We know that you love us. You've saved us. You're so pleased with us. But God, I just pray, Lord, for things that are tormenting people's minds. Lord, for issues in people's thinking that is not right. God, today we stand together by faith and we break it off in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus. For that thing that's been there so long, and for many people it's years and years and years, cut it off today in the name of Jesus. There's nothing we can do in our strength. It's in the name of Jesus. It's in the power and the authority of Jesus' name. Lord, we pray, people are being set free right now. As they go from this place today, Lord, it's not going to be an issue. The sun has set on that problem. The sun has set on that way of thinking. You're setting people free. Where are we today? God, we're right here and we're getting really honest with you. Part of the big picture is we want to live a life that is all that you have and planned for us. And we don't want to let something like this control our minds or hold us back or stop us from fulfilling your plan. So today we open up our hearts. We open up our minds. We get real with you. And we say, Lord, break it off in Jesus' name. Lord, we will pray. Lord, we can fast. Lord, we can come back at that stuff with the word. Lord, you've given us those tools that we can use. And in conjunction with that, we say, Lord, break it off our lives in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, let's just get a picture of 2019. It's a year of walking in a deeper intimacy and fullness with him. Getting a bigger picture of God's plan and purpose. Understanding the things that hold us back and being honest and breaking through them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Why don't you take a seat? Okay. The big picture. In Matthew 28 is the Great Commission. And Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. You see, Jesus came and he broke the curse. And then authority and power and dominion and rule and all those things that were at the beginning that got lost have been restored, and that's what he wants us to walk and to live in. You see, when you understand that, you're born into a new family. You're born into a new kingdom. You become God's son and God's daughter. You're adopted into his family. I'll use Prince Harry as an example. Everyone know Prince Harry? Ginger beard? Recently got married. Prince Harry, when he was a young man, he partied hard. And he probably embarrassed the royal family. Yet he was trying to work through stuff in his own life, the death of his mother. Yet he was a prince. And then he went to Afghanistan and he did a couple of tours. And you can't do something like that without it changing your life. And his heart and compassion went out for those wounded men and soldiers that he was involved with. He started the Invictus Games. If you've ever seen anything about that, it's for wounded servicemen and women. And they had it in Australia this year. And I've just watched and I've seen the life of Prince Harry go from party boy to now someone who understands that he's a prince. And he understands the responsibility and the weight that goes with that. And he, you know what? I think he's really got it now. He can change the world because of who he is. He's a prince. He was born into that. And now he's got a revelation of that. He's doing something that is changing the lives of countless people. It's the same in the spiritual realm. When you get born into his kingdom, you become a son and a daughter of God. Your son, a daughter, a prince, a princess. We're kings and queens. We're a royal priesthood. And his plan is for us to rule, not be ruled over. If you're being ruled over in your mind, that's not his plan for you. The plan for you is to overcome, be set free, and understand who you are and begin to rule. Steve McCracken wrote recently, and he coined the Great Commission as the Royal Commission. We understand what a Royal Commission is. We've had a couple of them lately. A Royal Commission looks into the matters of great importance and usual controversy. These can be matters such as government structure, the treatment of minorities, events of considerable public concern. Well, I think the event of most considerable public concern in the history of mankind is the Great Commission, the Royal Commission. And you've been commissioned to be part of the Royal Commission, the Great Commission, amen? That's who we are. That's why we're here on planet Earth. Don't let stuff hinder you and hold you back and mess you up so that you're not fulfilling all that God wants you to fulfill, amen? Let's close with this last scripture as the band comes. And actually, why don't you stand? Revelation 22, the very end of the big picture. Look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into heaven. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the big picture that started with Adam, that ends with a new heaven and a new earth. And in the middle of that, you have come back and you have taken everything that was lost and you have redeemed it and you have given that authority to us. And Lord, I pray that there would be an understanding, a revelation, an urgency today within us of where we are in history. And the role that you've played. And I pray that you would impact our hearts this day, that you would cleanse our mind. There's a washing of minds today. There's a washing of things that are holding us back. There's a breaking of the enemy, and an understanding and a revelation of who we are, who we represent, and the authority that you've given us. So Lord, today, I pray that we would not be people when you call out, "Where are you?" Our response would not be, "I hid because I'm ashamed." Our response would be, "Here am I. Here am I." Hallelujah. So we're going to sing a song as we close our service this morning. And I just want to echo those words once more. God is saying, "Where are you?" If you need to enter into a relationship with Him or get your relationship right with Him, we'd love to pray with you out the front today. You just come as we begin to sing. If you need healing or prayer, or you just want to respond in some way and you'd like someone to stand with you and pray with you, please come. And let's launch into this 2019 with a greater depth of intimacy with our Father God. Amen. All right, God bless you.
Neil, we're going to do Touch of Heaven.